How do you feel about lullabies? Do you still sing them? Do you still like them sung to you? How do you feel when I put this on? That's a Brahms lullaby. Jewel. They've been studied right throughout history for their effect on our soul. They help us feel gentle and calm. They might make some people want to throw their radio across the room. They can galvanise lullabies. One such expert is Dr. Anita Collins. She's from Kindling, which is an app essentially for kids and parents. And she hosts a show on the app at 5 p.m. called Settle Petal. I think it's Monday to Friday. I'll ask her. Dr. Anita Collins, welcome to Afternoons.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Why do we love lullabies so much?
I think they're such an important part of the first couple of years of our lives. We mm-hmm. connect with our parents very closely at those times that are very intimate. And we now know from the science that this connection is actually creating some amazing things going on in a baby's brain that helps them to bond with their parent and grow.
What sort of things?
What sort of things are happening in the brain?
What's happening in the brain?
Oh, the list is long. So, first of all, babies are born with their sense of hearing quite well developed. Their other senses are not developed at all.
Thus, people and often playing classical music to their fetus in utero.
Yes, yes, which phenomenon. In itself is doesn't really do that much. But it's about babies know your voice better than any other sound because it's actually the sound that they hear most often. Mm. And because they have this development in their hearing, they're actually, we now know, using their hearing more than any other sense to gather information about the world around them. And one of those most important pieces of information is their caregiver's voice. Mm. They can't necessarily see them or focus on them, first of all, but they know when they're in the room, they know when they're comforting them, they know when they're there to help them. So that's one of the developments that it starts with. It's our voice is so important to our child.
I think back to my own mother's voice, which was a Dutch one. Now, I never heard her accent, but when I hear other Dutch people speak, I hear the sing-song quality that's already inherent in the language. Are there certain languages in which lullabies are most revered, most soothing, I wonder?
No, but languages are really interesting. We have an interesting language in terms of English. It's called a stress language. So it's about where we put the accent or the sort of the heaviest part of where we speak. There are tonal languages, and that's what you would have heard in your mother's voice, is that there's more in different languages. They have sort of different melodies and different rhythms, if you want to put it that way. My grandmother and my grandparents were Greek, and I still remember even now when I hear Greek voices, I hear them like melodies. I don't understand what they're saying, but I hear the melody and the rhythm and I recognise it.
Mm, mm. Settle Petal is the name of your show. Is it on? It's an audio show. Is it 5 p.m. every day or just Monday to Friday?
I think the podcast that I'm doing comes just before Settle Petal, which starts next Monday.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, great. So it's coming just before that and setting up for that sort of that evening time that can be both wonderful and the witching hour as well.
So it's called the lullaby effect, I understand, the benefits of singing to your child. What was your hope when you put this show together, Dr. Anita?
This is part of a much broader area of research that I am very, very passionate and very interested about and very inside at the moment because I've been doing lots of travelling and visiting lots of different labs, particularly infant labs.
What's an infant lab?
An infant lab is literally what it means, which is it's a lab specifically set up to do neurological and psychological testing on babies. And I was very interested. My field originally started in understanding the research, the neuroscientific research about learning a musical instrument and how beneficial that is to academic development, social development. And with this trip, I'd made a point to go and see infant labs as well because I wanted to see how they worked with, you know, 4-month-old babies and 14-month-old toddlers running around. You know, what did they do? So it's been a wonderful eye-opener for me to learn about that part of the research as well.
Look, I'm so excited about what you just said around musical instruments. It's kind of exciting when research catches up with what we innately know.
Yes.
But I'll tell you a piece of where they haven't quite caught up yet. A lot of parents say to me that not only can't they sing, but that child doesn't want them to sing. Just like, stop singing, Mum.
Yes, everyone's had that experience. Stop singing.
So what does that say about research? Is that about differentiation and separation and needing your own?
I don't think so. I haven't read any research that sort of points to that. I think where sort of the tension might come is that we have to think of singing in a kind of a different way. Lullabies, for example, they have a very... You've just played one and it's got a very similar sets of elements. It's slow. It's usually in the middle or the lower part of sort of the tonal range. It has small leaps. It's very predictable. You know what's going to happen. You know, those are all the things that we generally as human beings, and not everyone... helps them to settle and calm down. We all know from The Wiggles that if we want kids jumping up and down, then we've got fast pieces of music with very jagged rhythms, larger intervals, all those sorts of things. So singing, sometimes when kids say stop singing, it's because the music, the kind of music we might be singing at the time, isn't fitting with their mood, and it's very connected with mood and emotion. Another one might be it literally is too loud.
Right.
So kids are...
Get away from my ear, Mum.
Well, if you've ever been to... let's go with the Wiggles concert, for example.
Okay.
Or you've had the television on and you'll see a whole bunch of, say, 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds, and they will cover their ears immediately. Now, part of me thinks that, and when we think about it from an evolutionary sense, their ears are so incredibly important. Their brain knows that. So their brain is telling them to protect their ears because that's their biggest information gathering sense that they have.
Oh, that's so interesting. If we go back to what you know about lullabies, does it matter what the words are? I'll tell you why I'm asking that, because I think back to Bye Baby Bunting, a classic lullaby. Bye Baby Bunting, Daddy's going a-hunting to catch a little rabbit skin to put a little baby in. And also, you know, the wind blowing Rock-a-bye Baby.
Yes.
Really, when you think about it, neither are particularly comforting stories, are they?
No, ring-a-ring-a-rosie, you know, pocket full of posy, a tissue, we all fall down. That's the plague.
Good
Lord. They're not pretty. But part of it, I think, is the fact that if we think about the baby we're singing to, they don't understand the words.
Yes.
But as I mentioned before, they're understanding the melody and the rhythm. And actually, when you asked before about what's it doing to their brain, and I said the list is long, another thing that is being developed through singing to your baby, whether it's lullabies or not, is babies and children are starting to learn that melody and rhythm of their own home language. And that's the first thing they hear. They hear it as if it's like one long string of sound, and it's this wonderful point. Everyone who's had a baby or a toddler at that point will understand. The toddler can say something in a sentence that sounds like gobbledygook and the parent understands it, but they turn to somebody else and they go, oh, I don't understand what they said. It's because they're starting to pick up the rhythm and melody of language, but they haven't yet learned how to separate the words. So when it comes back to do the words matter, in infancy, no. You could be singing the Tats Lotto numbers and it will still be song and language. And if you do it in a soft voice and comforting and nice slow tempo, it'll put them straight to sleep.
You've reminded me of a moment, I call it a hashtag crap mother moment, when my beautiful friend and babysitter, Lani, was with my twins, and they'd been saying the same thing again and again for like a week, and I had no idea what they were saying.
Yeah.
And then I came home and she said to me, isn't it cute the way the boys are always talking about snow? And the way they've been saying it is, no. And then, of course, we put two and two together. The snow was in the book, you know, the snow was in the song, and they were making language out of it.
Yes,
for sure. Do you think
it's
true to say that if you've taught yourself to talk, you can also sing?
I don't think those two are related. If you have a voice, you can sing. There's another part to that sentence, which is, that doesn't mean you can sing in tune or in time or any of those things, but you can sing. We all have a voice and we can all sing. And I would wonder if anyone ever in their life hadn't sung in the shower, in a quiet room on their own, when they're walking somewhere. Mm. It's we overlay these really, really hard judgments on ourselves about what singing is, what's good singing.
Why? Whereas, is it because it's where we're our most vulnerable?
I think it's a few things. We have these, it does, we now know that singing in particular has a very strong physiological connection with our emotional response. So it in a way, your statement was kind of true in that it does bring us very close to our inner selves. But in saying that, we've also got these other social influences like Australia's Got Talent and Australian Idol, which sets up situations where we say, oh, these people have just popped out of nowhere and they've been born with a voice. And to a point, they have been born with a voice, but most of them have had very rigorous and very good training to get to the point where they are. The other part is, in Australia, we have a really interesting social idea of what singing's for, where singing sits, how valuable is singing, what does it mean? You know, if you go to Wales, if you go to England, if you go to many, many different countries, singing is thought of quite differently.
Hang on, up there, Kazalee. I mean, everyone knows that. We all sing that, don't we?
Yeah. We do it. Singing is a broad term for what that is.
Making noise together.
Making noise together. And to a point, is that not singing?
I'm with you. Dr. Anita Collins is our guest. She's one of the experts from Kindling, a new audio app. They call it an audio channel for kids and parents, and she'll be hosting a show called The Lullaby Effect, The Benefits of Singing to Your Child. What do you plan to teach, or, you know, are we going to be listening to your favourite lullabies, or are you talking? What is the show?
No, I've sort of talked a little bit about the different parts of the science that are coming through. So that very question about the, do you need to sing in tune to your baby? And the answer is no, you don't. You're their favourite rock star. things, this concept about synchronicity, which is a brilliant, it was a really important experience for me. I watched a mother and a 4-month-old baby go into a sort of sound booth, and the mother would sing to the baby, and they were sort of all hooked up to measure heartbeat, body temperature, all sorts of things that they could. And we got to watch it outside on the screen, and it literally looked like an etch-a-sketch. There were lines flying everywhere. It looked amazing. And then as soon as she started to sing, no matter if she sang the song in a really happy voice or a really lullaby kind of voice, you saw both the lines synchronize.
Wow.
And it's this research that's being done currently, which is looking at why we might be singing lullabies, how it's actually creating bonding and connecting between mother and child and parent and child. All those sorts of things.
It's just beyond fascinating. I think for all, I mean, David in Croydon's just said, Claire, you must read this. I once heard Sweet Child of Mine sung as a lullaby. It was fantastic. Yep. I'd never thought about this before. So many calls and so many texts through. But thank you. It's been a fascinating conversation. I'm wishing you all very, very best for the show.
Great. Thank you very much.